Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border, and we're in Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll just pick up here at verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And yes, it's true, we do fall. And one of the major temptations, that the blow that is dealt to people when they start their walk of faith, is, you know, one of the first things you do is you fall, because you're used to walking a different way. And suddenly now you have to walk in a new way. So you fall. And then the enemy comes and he whispers in your ear how no good you are and how you'll never be accepted of God, because look what you just did. Well, he's a liar. He'd just do anything to keep you from walking with the Heavenly Father. Not only that, you may even find comfort in that, because it's easier to fall back into the old patterns. As a matter of fact, it can even be pleasurable to fall back into the old things. But the righteous man, it falls seven times and get back up. You know, I fall, I reach up for his hand. No more running away from me. No more hiding in the fig leaves, you know. I'm going to get this right. It's like riding the bike, you know. You keep going till you stay on the horse or whatever challenge it is in your life, till you learn to abandon those things that used to be normal, the things that keep calling you back, and the companions that you had, that you fellowshipped in those things with. Because that's what you have. You go to the bar, those people are fellowshipping. Yep, they certainly are. It's the fellowship of the wine bibbers and loose women. And yeah, that's that fellowship. You know, you got the fellowship of the drug addicts. You got whatever they fellowship. You got the fellowship of the football games. You know, the fellowship of the idolaters of sports. Just name it. You know, you got a fellowship of it's all idolatry, basically, but that's what it is, the fellowship. No, when you fall, you get back up. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up. And that proclaims that we're not perfect, those of us who choose the path of righteousness. That path of righteousness comes with some falling down, but it also comes with getting back up every single time. And after a while, you know, you break back up. You get right back up there. Sometimes you might just stumble. Oops, I almost fell. Yep. But I reached out and the Father's hand was there. That's right. Just hold my hand, Father. Keep me from falling. Keep me from stumbling. That's the point that we need to get to. Sometimes he lets us go, you know, not too far. He's right there. He's within reach. If we call on him, he'll be there. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Yes, it does. I guess it would displease our Father. I guess it would. It says it would displease him for us to take joy in the pain, the suffering of anyone, even our enemy, and even the most evil men. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And that's where we left off. I forgot to mark it again. From my son, fear thou Yahuwah, the Lord, and the king. And, you know, I do have respect for the governing authority, and I do fear their power, you know. That's why I will treat them with the due respect. But I do not fear them more than I fear my Heavenly Father. So there's wisdom there. Fear Yahuwah first, and you notice he's first in line here for the fear, and the king. Meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Both? Yeah, those that like change and those that meddle with them. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Maybe I'll look for a little insight from our friend here, Henry, that is. This is a rule of prudence in the management of household affairs. For all good men should be good husbands and manage with discretion, which would prevent a great deal of sin and trouble and disgrace to their profession. We must prefer necessities before conveniences, and not lay that out for show which should be expended for the support of the family. We must be contented with a mean cottage for a habitation rather than want, or go in debt for food convenient. We must not think of building till we can afford it. First apply thyself to thy work without in the field. Let thy ground be put into good order. Look after thy husbandry, for it is that by which thou must get, and when thou hast got well by that, then, and not till then, thou mayest think of rebuilding and beautifying thy house. That's what I figured. He says in a lot of words what is said in very few, but to clarify it for us, our good friend Henry's commentary, you can download that with your e-sword too, and I would advise it, because when you get to something like this, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. It's good to get his insight here. And he continues, many have ruined their estates and families by laying out money on that which brings nothing in, beginning to build when they were not able to finish. Some understand it as advice to young men not to marry, for by that the house is built till they have set up in the world and not wherewith to maintain a wife and children comfortably. When we have any great design on foot, it is wisdom to take it before us and make the necessary preparations before we fall to work, that when it is begun, it may not stand still for want of materials. Solomon observed this rule himself in building the house of God. All was made ready before it was brought to the ground. Okay. Well, I agree with most of what Henry said. I have a few differences. That is, I think they're wise words, but I think in our Heavenly Father, in His family government, that yes, it is wise for a man to build his house before he gets married, but I don't believe it's wise to have a $250,000 house that you go into debt for and that you have to enslave yourself for 40 years to some corporation to get it. I think it's also wise to be satisfied with modest means that support your needs and then work hard and trust in Yahuwah, trust in the Lord. And when the Messiah said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, well, that's the best way that you can provide for yourself, is by righteousness, seeking to do what is right in our Heavenly Father's eyes, keeping His commandments, and knowing that if you live a life of obedience, that He will provide everything you need. Like I said earlier, if He commands you to do something, He will give you the wherewithal to keep that commandment. Okay, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 28. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause. Interesting. I guess that could be taken a few ways. And deceive not with thy lips. And perhaps where it's not necessary, where the cause is not ours, we should not get involved. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his works, to his work. You know, Jesus, Yahshua, he came and he said, it has been said of old time, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you know, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. You know what? It's funny that I find every principle that the Messiah expounded upon in the Old Testament. And I find that principle here. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Say it not. Not an eye for an eye, or a tooth for a tooth. And that verse can also be taken two ways. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. One way could be vengeance, that because someone poked your eye out, you're going to go poke their eye out, which would be foolish. There is the principle of just compensation, the value of the eye. And we see that principle in the scripture as we went through the law, that there was a value fixed on the eye. And perhaps, or if a man lost his foot, perhaps the other man would have to pay restitution if he caused him to lose his foot or his leg or to be crippled. He would have to provide for his family or pay him a sum that would make him satisfied, at least for a while. So there's, you know, two principles there. One is just compensation, as opposed to where they go to court today, and because someone's coffee was too hot, they got a $3 million award. Well, that goes against the eye for an eye principle, if you get my meaning there. So that could be looked at two ways. But here, we definitely see the principle that Yahshua propounded when he said, say not. It was said of old times, but I say, you know, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, you know, bless them that curse you. Say not, I will do to him, do so to him as he had done to me. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. I've seen this plenty. And I just think, what a shame. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. And here's the instruction he received. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of the folding, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, it is a shame that our Heavenly Father has blessed so many people with so much, and they just let it go to ruin, because they become comfortable, but suddenly they have nothing. So shall thy poverty come, as one that travaileth, and thy want, as an armed man. Suddenly, like you've been held up. Oh, what happened? All of a sudden, you got nothing, and you're out there standing in the line at the employment office, begging for bread, or looking for the government handout, the socialist surety system to give you a check. But when they had much, they just spent it. They lived beyond their means and even went into debt. But suddenly they didn't provide for the time that it would come when there's wisdom to be learned. Chapter 25 of Proverbs. These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Now, I wonder if Solomon wrote the whole Proverbs or whether he wrote the Proverbs from this point on. It's, you know, it's debatable. We don't really know, but at least we know from here on, or at least a good portion hereafter, I believe that at least the rest from 25 on were the Proverbs of Solomon, as it says here, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Yes, wouldn't that be nice? We could just go to the capital and clean out all the wicked there. Unfortunately, I believe that they are a majority, because they just sit there all day long and pass laws to enrich whoever gives them the biggest bribes. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower. Yes, indeed. That thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. In other words, well, there's another principle that we see in the New Testament, that if you had a problem with your brother, you're to go to him. And then, of course, if he didn't answer it, then you were to take it to the church and let brethren judge between you. You would see the same principles there established in the young church or ecclesia as were established in the nation of Israel. And we see that same principle here in Proverbs. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. In other words, don't take it to other people. I have causes, I have debates with some of my neighbors, and no one else will hear about them. It's nobody's business but ours. Discover not a secret to another. Don't discuss it with others. Lest he that heareth put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Because the people that want to hear those things, believe me, they're going to blab it all over the place. And words have wings, do they not? It's hard to capture them. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold, as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Well, I think here the picture really is, it's like that ice cold glass of water, because you've been out there in harvest working very hard and sweating. How refreshing it would be. I think that's the picture here. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Withdraw thy foot. Otherwise, don't overstay your visit. You know, don't wear out your welcome. There you go. There's a few cliches that are fitting. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre. I wonder, what is nitre? There's a word I'm not familiar with. Potash, effervescence with acid. Okay? So is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Yes, he wants to hear merry songs when they have a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. That's, in some places they would call that, giving comfort to the enemy. But here it's a principle. I see it in the scripture. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Yahuwah, by name, shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. There you go. See, there is a time for anger, is there not? If someone's got a backbiting tongue, well, an angry countenance will drive it away. Good words. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.